fill our hearts with joy because they have been written in the context of a happy experience, and therefore that radiance seems to come from the page even to our hearts as we read those psalms. But as you look at this psalm, psalm number 28, you will see that in the first five verses there is recorded a prayer of the psalmist David that was offered not in a time of great gladness, but folks, this prayer was offered in a day of national calamity. National calamity. You will see here that it is a time of very great need indeed in the heart of the psalmist and around him as well. It says, "Unto thee when I cry, O Lord, my rock, be not silent to me." He means business here with the Lord. There's anxiety in his heart. He's troubled. And he wants the Lord to give audience to him as he recognizes that unless the Lord does do that and moves on his part, then things are going to get worse. There's no other way of explaining it to the Lord. And that's exactly what the psalmist does here. He comes and he casts himself on the Lord. And in the words that we find here, he shows just how desperate things really are. In verse 1 he says, "Lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down and into the pit." Now that wasn't going to happen to him, but he said he'd become like them. He was at wit's end corner. Every avenue, I'm sure, for help had been explored. And now he is brought again to that point where he was to just cast himself upon the Lord. Remember the title that so many commentators over the years would have given to the psalm, "Recourse to the Rock." And he goes on there to tell us other things. He speaks there of the lifting up of hands. The thought there is of empty hands. So as he comes before the Lord, he comes with great earnestness, but he comes with great expectation. He's coming knowing that the Lord is able to work on his part. It says in verse 3, "There are draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity." And he has some great truths to tell us concerning these people that are all around him. And I think as I thought on this psalm, folks, during these past days, there's so much in it that is relevant to us today in our country here in Northern Ireland. You will see here that if you look at verse 9, these people were defiant to God. It says there, because they regard not the works of the Lord. Their ultimate aim is anti-God and anti everything that he stands for, because their heart is motivated by wickedness. They're defiant to God. Number 3, they're deceitful to their neighbors, which speak peace through their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. These are very dedicated people. They're dedicated to evil. You look there in verse 3 and also verse 4, it says, "Give them according to their deeds and according to the wickedness of their endeavors. Give them after the work of their own hands." So really, the psalmist here, he is praying in a time that is very dark, a time that you could say was night, spiritually, as far as his experience was concerned. But as he brings these needs before the Lord and the situation around him, it seems that there are people there who are dedicated to sin and wickedness, they're defiant to God, and they're also slippy characters. For it says there that they speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. You could really say that's how it is in many countries in the world today, and not least in Northern Ireland. All around us there is this darkness that you can almost feel it. Torrent of evil seems to have come in. Depravity is not only accepted, it's openly promoted. Promoted on every hand. And it seems to successfully have won away a lot of people after it. The psalmist here is confident. If you look there in verse 9, you'll see he says there, "He shall destroy them and not build them up." He shall destroy them and not build them up. He's looking to the future. There has been an upsurge in wickedness, and he's not naive or foolish enough to bury his head in the sand and think, "Well, my little experience is okay, so I'll make believe that it's all okay. He didn't do that. He faces it really as it is. There's been an upsurge in wickedness, darkness all around. But he believes that the Lord is able. And the Lord really has helped him. And the Lord is able to yet turn the thing right around. And folks, we all know how it is in the United Kingdom today. And I don't preach about political things here, but I've been speaking to people these past 2 or 3 days, and people, good people, are afraid. People are concerned for the future of their children. People who, some of them not free Presbyterians at all, they're vexed, very worried, and full of uncertainty, and really anxious, not knowing what's going to happen. Not naive enough to think, well, I'm okay, I've got nice people around me here, it'll be okay. It'll not be okay. We have to face the situation as it is. So these first 5 verses really show us a state of calamity. And folks, we're heading there in the United Kingdom overall. If we're not already there. But there is then verse 7. That paints for us an altogether different picture. We read it twice today already, we don't need to read it again. And it is to this verse that I want to draw your attention, and maybe you're one of those people that is afraid, and anxious, and feeling uncertain, and just feeling that, like so many other people, that we really need the Lord to move. Well, this verse 7, I trust, is a verse of encouragement to you. I've given a title to the message. It's called Holding On and Going On. Holding On and Going On. I want you to notice here then, there is here a special possession. A special possession. He says here, the Lord is my strength and my shield. As we see here, there was a time of extremity for him. And he, as it were, takes a two-handed grasp of what God really is to him. He says, he is my strength and my shield. And as he speaks in that way concerning the Lord, he's speaking here of the double blessing that he has experienced and yet wants to experience concerning the Lord in his life. And our comfort will come from the fact today, folks, that the Lord is your strength and my strength and our shield as well. And that hasn't changed. We need to remember that. That is the special possession of God's people. You see, the Lord has promised grace. David was laying hold upon that. But David here is not looking to God's providence or to God's work in his soul when he saved him, neither even his own love for the Lord. He's not even looking here to the attributes of the Lord. He's looking to the Lord himself. Says here, the Lord, Jehovah, is my strength and my shield. And folks, if you can address God in that way today, then you have something that is of great worth, something that is of much more value than any power or authority or any property that the world might have today. You need to remember that, because as we go ahead into the future, we'll need to remember it. Because many people believe, including me, that we will have many causes to recourse to the rock, to come to the Lord and just cast ourselves upon him. Someone actually mentioned in the prayer meeting this morning, being out among the world, and what you hear and what you see can cause you to despair and cause you to feel discouraged. And a person may feel so weak and so empty and so distressed and so despairing. But if you can come along and say, as the psalmist did here, the Lord is my strength and my shield, then you're in good ground. You're in good ground. Notice here that, as he says, it's really an argument as he lays hold upon the Lord. He says here, the Lord is my strength. He's referring here, we believe, to his inner strength. Now, one thing's for sure, as we look back over even what's been of 2017 already, we see our own weakness. We see our own limitation in any part of God's work. And whenever there is burden and difficulty and disappointment, whether it is personally or as a people or as a nation or as a country, then the grace is doubled. And God is able to give us that inward strength that we need to come along and infuse strength into us in our hour of weakness. And that appeals to me today. Maybe you would look over there in the book of Ezra. It says there in verse 7. Book of Ezra, verse 7. Read what it says in verse 28. It says, "And half of the Lord hath extended mercy unto me before the king and his counselors, before all the king's mighty princes." And then this is what it's saying. "And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me." It really means strength was infused. I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. Another verse I looked at one time there in chapter 9. It says in verse 9 of the same book of Ezra, "Now, for a little space, grace hath been showed from the Lord our God to leave us a remnant to escape and to give us a nail in his holy place, that our God might enlighten our eyes and give us a little reviving in our bondage." That's verse 8. "For we were bondmen, yet our God hath not forsaken us in our bondage, but hath extended mercy unto us in the sight of the kings of Persia to give us a reviving, to set up the house of our God, and to repair the desolations thereof." The thought here is that the Lord coming along, his people are in great need, and he's proving himself to be that inward strength. Whenever men feel at their lowest end, the Lord is able to come along and to give to them, to impart to them this strength that we're reading here about. You see, folks, while all around us changes, we sang about it, changes the time brings inevitably, changes that are unexpected sometimes. When all of that comes, we need to remember that God never changes, and his personal care toward you never changes, ever. And his love for his people never, ever changes. He has encouraged us in the past, even when we were almost, and I've spoken to lots of people who were that close to completely writing themselves off. And just giving up in a whole lot of different ways. But even as far as Christians going on were concerned, they were that close to giving up. We love the denomination that we're part of, but it's not our strength or our stay. We love Christian fellowship more than anything almost on earth. It's great. But that's not our strength either or our stay. God himself has been our strength and our stay. And with all your limitations in mind, remember this, that God is the strength of his people. Whatever happens in the country around us, remember that. He is our strength. It says over here, and I read these a couple of references for you, in the book of Habakkuk, just to back up what I'm saying, really. It says in Habakkuk chapter 3, and the verse 19, it says there, "The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like hind feet. And he will make me to walk upon my high places." The thought here is of God imparting strength to, and it says there, like hind feet, the thought is of swiftness and great stability. There are those types of the deer family that you'll find them up in the Rocky Mountains, or well, I don't mean the Rocky Mountains in Colorado, but I mean mountains with lots of rocks, but you will find them there, and they're very sure-footed. They can move in the most remarkable way among the rocks. And the writer here is saying, that's the way the Lord will make my feet. The verse before it says, "I will join the God of my salvation." And there's so many others. We read there in verse 19, it says, "He will make my feet like hinds' feet." The thought here is of putting our feet, or appointing our feet. Maybe you don't feel like a hind at the moment. Not really a skip in your step. Discouragement has come. Well, this is what the Lord is able to do for you, Christian. And then back there in the Psalms again, verse 27, verse 1, says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life." He's really showing here that that the Lord is the strength of everything that he wills to do. So it is. Christians today. Again in Isaiah 26, I'll just read what it says there in verse 3 and 4. It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee, because he trusteth in thee." The word stead there, and I think I might have mentioned some years ago, is the word samach in Hebrew, which means to lean all your weight upon. If I was to come over here and lean all my weight on that, you'd know that I'm leaning my weight upon this part of the pulpit. Well, the thought here is of leaning all your weight upon him. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is," or what person is leaning all their weight upon him. That's what the psalmist was doing. In the Psalm number 28, it says in verse 4, this Isaiah 26, "Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." You can't exhaust what we're talking about here this morning. The devil will come along and he'll whisper in your ear, "Oh, you," whether it's a man or woman, "it's another year of weakness, another year of failure, another year of plodding along and just getting through the best you can. There's no victory there." Well, the Bible says the devil is a liar from the beginning. And it can be a year of victory for you. Read what it says there in the book of Exodus, and chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15, and verse 2. It says, this is the song of Moses now when they come through the Red Sea. He says here, "The Lord is my strength and song, and has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him." They have good reason here to be full of the joy of the Lord. For in verse 1 it says, "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Their total dependence was upon him, and he didn't let them down. He didn't let them down. And folks, this was part of the special possession that David had. When he says here, "The Lord is my strength," referring to our inward strength, and I admit today I need it. And as the years go by, and there seems to be that growing tide of wickedness all around us, I need it more. And I'm sure you do as well. But we're not speaking about something here that is really just a pipe dream. This is available for us. It's available for us, and it's available for us now. "The Lord is my strength," but he also says here, "The Lord is my shield." Over there in the Psalm 33, it says there in the verse 20, it says, "Our soul waiteth for the Lord." You can read the context there yourself. It speaks to us about the eye of the Lord being upon them that fear him. Verse 18, "Are they that reverence him, and them that hope in his mercy." And the verse 20, "My soul waiteth for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield." He is our shield, and you need it. Or we need him, I should say, as our shield. Because all around us, we can find that which would be an attack upon our going on with the Lord. Remember the title this morning, "Holding On and Going On." He was praying, he was really laying hold upon the Lord, but he was going on. There is that attack that comes when you and I are brought face to face with the fact that the old man is not dead. And there's the flesh, that's what we're speaking about. Temptation. Temptation to say the wrong thing, to go the wrong way, or to behave in a way that would be certainly detrimental to our progressing with the Lord, or even in fact our families as well. And that is something which is very, very serious indeed. It says there in Proverbs 23 and in verse 17, "Let not thine heart then be sinner, but be thou in the fear or the reverence of the Lord all the day long." And when that is the case, that's where David was, then he definitely is our shield whenever it comes to the opposition of the flesh and the world and the devil, out to trip us up, out to sow the seeds of discontent, seeds of discouragement, seeds of despair. And really, Christian, just to say to you, you know, you're just wasting your time living the way you do. And the things that you hold dearly and you believe in and all of those things, sooner or later you're going to have to let them go and move on with the rest of us. Well, no, you're not. Because the Lord is your against dangers that we don't even know anything about. A preacher many years ago had this to say regarding God as your shade. He said, "It is a great comfort to feel God's Spirit within you, making you strong." We might have spoken about that, the Lord being our strength. "And it is no small joy to know that God is around you, making you safe." He is our shade. Maybe again there's one today, or maybe far more than that. You're feeling alone in some degree. God is with you. Martin Luther, and there's a lot of talk about him this year, and there will be, hopefully, even next weekend here in the church. Martin Luther was at one time contacted by the Elector of Saxony. And someone came to him, and they must have felt that the relationship between him and the Elector of Saxony was a bit strained. They said, "Where would you hide yourself if the Elector of Saxony were to withdraw his protection?" And Luther replied in a way that was typical for him. He said, "I put no trust in the Elector of Saxony. Beneath the shield of heaven I stand, secure against pope and devil." That's what he said. He was under great pressure at that time, and so he did stand secure. And Christian, in spite of being alarmed in these days, remember this. The Lord is still the strength and the shade of his people. Someone else said, I'm not sure who it was, they said, "The earth and hell should blend their balance. They are saved whom God protects." God has promised to build his church. That means the protecting of his cause. And not about his word. Not about his word. I want you to look at something, and it's very, very applicable to us right now. Might turn to it. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes there. Chapter 9. It says here in verse 8, "If thou seest the oppression of the poor, and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter. For he that is higher than the highest regarded, are nearly higher than they." In that verse 8 there is the corruption that is evident. You will see that, it says, "When thou seest the oppression of her, and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province." There's an awful cry today, and it's going to be heard a lot louder in the coming days, I hear, of equal rights. But there's something that we must understand. The vast, vast majority of people in Northern Ireland that are crying for equal rights, whether it is tied up with their own political baggage, or whether it is in the LBG brigade, or anywhere else, and we need to understand this. These people are not interested in equal rights. They want superior rights, not equal rights. And really what we're saying is to you, we want you to come to that point, and we want to break you and push you and oppress you till you condone sin. Not only tolerate it, but till you condone it. We call it respect. Until you respect our sin. You can't do that. Generally humble people and very often feel very weak. This verse says to us here that the corruption that is evident all around us, but the calmness that is encouraged. See what it says there in that verse 8? It says, "Marvel not at the matter." Marvel not at the matter. In other words, don't be surprised. Wicked men are wax worse and worse. We love it when God gives us pleasant and had a good day. We haven't met with any particular nastiness and we would have it been that way all the time, but it isn't. It isn't. We know how it is. We are where we are, and we know what's there. And it says, "Marvel not at the matter." We live in a world of sin. And that's the real problem behind a lot of the wickedness that's going on, and wicked promotion and wicked thoughts. But notice also there, the great concern that there is. It says, "For he that is higher than the highest regardeth." In other words, the word meaning takes note. Knows all about it. Is concerned about it. "He that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they." said, the psalmist says rightly, the Lord is my strength and he is my shield. He is my shield. Now, we want to remember there that this was a praying man. And folks, we cannot overemphasize the importance of this. Seeking the Lord. He was crying to the Lord, recourse to the rock. He was throwing himself, casting himself upon the Lord in a time of darkness. A time of night. But there was this special possession. He had the Lord as his strength and his shield. One final verse I just want to read here in this, and then I'll move on very quickly. It says in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, it says, every word of God is pure. Now this verse is in the context of the importance of God's word. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. It's in the context of his word. You need to read his word. You need to hear his word. You need to believe his word. And knowing his grace, we need to try and live his word. And it's not a matter of giving equality. You know, we cannot condone sin ever. And then that brings you to that point where, well, where do we look now? What do we look at? We're going to have to cast ourselves upon the Lord. You know, there's been, just this past week, I was reading again about some law that's going to be passed in England shortly regarding small children. I'm not going to mention the title of it. They come to their age here, and what they're going to, by law, have to be taught. By law. Now, we know that there's good reason for concern, because it's to do with predators and so on. But what they're going to be taught is, you know, and when they leave Christian parents, very, very uneasy indeed. But the Lord is our strength and our shield. Holding on. Hope, folks, we need to hold on. And then we will go on. Because if we don't hold on, then we'll become very discouraged Christians. It's as simple as that. But there is here this special position, but there is also here this solace in the night. Not only the special possession in the day of darkness or the night, but the solace in the night. He says, hear my heart, trusted in him, and I am helped. He had trusted in the Lord. He had cast himself upon the Lord. And he's saying, right now, the Lord is helping me. What do we see here? We see a man with a very glad heart. Now, if you look at his experience in verse 1, it was a very frightened heart. He was agitated and distressed. Frustrated, just like many now in Ulster. It was a frightened heart, and there didn't seem to be any visible refuge or any real way out of the situation. But now he has a very glad heart because he's been hanging on to the Lord. He's been hanging on to the Lord, and it's so easy for our heart to trust in self. Start looking about what about me and what can I do here? You know, why can I change this? Or, you know, the very middle verse of your Bible, I'm not saying that I read the Bible through and printed the verses, but not the middle one. Psalm 118 and verse 8, this is what it says: it is better to trust in the Lord than to put your confidence in man. And men should help each other. I should help you. You should try and encourage me. You should try and help your family, and they should try and help you. And people do that. And people generally out in society will be helpful to you. But the verse is clear enough, isn't it? It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. David here is, or the psalmist here, the Psalm 118, is speaking from experience. He's learned. He's learned that he's going to come to that point where he just has to cast himself upon the Lord. There's no help anywhere else. Anywhere else. He says here, I am helped. I am helped, and I have some titles down here to speak about how you can be helped even in this time of darkness, help in your walk with God and the hostility that is around you. Help in your waiting upon God. You can't find help in waiting upon God unless you go to pray. But if you do, you will find help. Help in your witness for the Lord. The fear of man brings a snare. I feel that's taken on a whole new relevance here in Northern Ireland. The fear of man brings a snare. I was talking to a man yesterday, and he's not a pretty Presbyterian, I've known him all my life. preacher with him as well. But he just speaking to him very briefly, and he said, you know, he says it's getting now that says nobody wants you to give out tracts. That's true. That is true. There's talk of, oh, you be tolerant of us, we be tolerant of you, and you, we have no problem with your tracts. Once things get to a certain level, then you see how they really is. You see how they is. I think there's a couple of preachers in England at the moment, again, they're not very Presbyterian, but they're being dragged to the courts for preaching and quoting the Word of God in the open air. Need help. Need the Lord's help. Need to know that there is this solace, that I trusted in Him and I am helped. And trusting it really means just you're praying and you're doing what you can, you're casting the rest on Him. You're leaving the rest with Him. We need help in our walk with God, our waiting before God, our witness for God, and our work for God's glory. Laborers together with Him. And folks, that has to go on. That work has to go on in spite of everything. Remember, there's one today and you're not saved yet. So far you've stumbled through the year. And what we're talking about doesn't seem really relevant to you. You've never been washed in the blood of Christ. You can't be today. Far too many going through this country, going through life with emptiness, aimlessness, purposeless lives. Come to Christ today and put your trust in Him, and He will be a solace to you. There is a special possession. The Lord is my strength and my shield. There is the solace in the night. My heart trusted in Him and I am helped. But then there is the song in the night. For it says there at the end, for my heart greatly rejoiceth. And with my song will I praise Him. The devil does not like singing Christians. When I say that, I mean Christians who are enjoying the Lord, whose hearts are rejoicing in what He has done for them. And the knowledge here that God had heard and answered His prayer chased away the fear. Chased away the doubts. Problems were still around him. But he'd given it over to the Lord. He knew that the Lord was working in his heart, and his heart was still rejoicing in the Lord. Someone I read the other day said that there's great joy in the world, but it's only skin deep. It's only skin deep. This is speaking of a true joy that is found in Christ alone. My heart rejoiceth greatly. That's really what he's saying here. It's as though his heart is as full of joy as it can be. Really, you could say his cup is running over. These problems are still there. You know, those who are deceitful to their neighbors, dedicated to evil and defiant to God, they're there. But he's come to God. Cast himself upon God. He shall ask God to help him personally. And God has done that. And folks, remember this. You and I as Christians can't get to the point where God doesn't care about us. Today we can rejoice in His grace that has saved us. We can rejoice in His guidance that is promised to us. It's promised to us. Now, there's a great danger with that of people thinking, well, you know, there's certain things you want to do yourself, and somehow or other get the blessing of God upon it. That's not His guidance. But He will guide His people if we seek His guidance. We can rejoice in His goodness. The Bible says that He daily loadeth us with benefits. I read just yesterday, I'm not even sure where it was, I read that a proud man complains that he doesn't have more, but a humble man wonders why he has. Proud man complains that he doesn't have more. But a humble man wonders why he has so much. He daily loadeth us with benefits. You're saved today, Christian. The Lord has blessed you, I'm sure, in many ways as He has me. And we have so much to be thankful for Him for. Why should we doubt that in the situation we are now in Northern Ireland, that He will heal us? Hold on to Him and go on with Him. Because He knows no change. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, said, praising God is one of the highest and purest acts of true Christianity. Praising God is one of the highest and purest acts